Lots of shoppers, as we've been mentioning, hit big box stores for Black Friday. But not everyone at Walmart was lining up for the deals. There were protests calling for higher worker wages at about 1,600 stores across the country, organized by a group called Our Walmart. And this is the third Black Friday they've done this. Marketplace's wealth and poverty correspondent Chrissy Clark joins me now. Hi, Chrissy.
Hey, Lizzie.
You covered these protests when they started 2 years ago. What's happened since then, if anything, really, in response to these?
So the main message of these protests has been about working conditions and pay. And in the last 2 years, Walmart has made some changes that have aligned with those demands. Walmart, of course, says they were not in response to the protests. They were things that they were discussing internally anyway. But correlation and causation aside, some of the changes that Walmart has made include things like a new online scheduling system that makes it easier for workers to pick up extra hours, which workers have responded to very positively. The company's also revamped its policy for pregnant workers, making it easier for them to qualify for light duties. And then Walmart's new CEO, Doug McMillon, came out saying that he wants to, quote, be in a situation where we don't pay minimum wage at all. Though that's certainly not the same thing as saying we're going to pay all our workers at least $15 an hour, which is what Walmart protesters have been calling for. But it is a signal that this is on their mind.
This is also part of a conversation about the broader economy. How does it fit into that conversation?
The larger issue is really that one of the fastest growing parts of our economy is in the low-wage service sector. And while the economy's finally started to see more job creation, the majority of those jobs are at the very bottom of the wage scale. And so for the last few decades, wages have been stagnating. And that's a really big part of why our economy is still sluggish. Our economy is driven by consumer spending. When wages are stagnating or low for a lot of people, people are spending less.
We saw four states raise the minimum wage after referendums and different votes in the midterm elections. But there doesn't seem to be much movement on the federal level to do the same thing.
Right. So voters in Alaska, in Arkansas, Nebraska, and South Dakota all approved ballot measures to raise their state's minimum wages, none as high as $15, but raise them. And those states, you may notice, are red states. So that suggests to some that maybe there are seeds for some bipartisan agreement on the federal minimum wage issue and raising it. Of course, some economists say, given how widely the cost of living varies in different parts of the country, it makes sense to just stick to it, doing it piecemeal at a local level, because it makes sense to have minimum wages that are set based on cost of livings in specific areas.
And when you look at this at the national level, the Congressional Budget Office also found that if you were to go to, say, a 10-10 minimum wage, that could also, in this economy, result in some fairly significant job losses, you know, offset in some part by higher wages. But that points to some real tension here.
Right. And that is sort of the fundamental balancing act that economists have been debating for a long time. Some economists say raising wages at the bottom will put more money in people's wallets. That will kickstart the economy. Others warn that could lead to fewer jobs as employers try to cut costs. So it's, you know, it's sort of a balancing act.
Chrissy Clark from our Wealth and Poverty Desk, thank you so much.
You're welcome.